Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy William Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg, is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Dunkelberg is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. He's a professor of economics at Temple University in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he is an old friend of ours. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to be here as always.
We're always happy to have you here, folks. Bill, for decades now, he has.
Rub it in.
I know. Well, listen, that's how I talk about my career now, Bill. I don't talk about years. I talk about decades.
Yeah.
But I've earned it.
I'm happy.
That's exactly. I'm kind of proud of it. But anyway, Bill has been for decades, folks. He's been polling small business owners like you across the country and asking them questions about what they think about the economy. He pulls that information back, compiles it into a report, and publishes it. And it's an outstanding report. And we're the happy beneficiaries of this, one of the happy beneficiaries every month. And we not only talk about it on the show, but we also post it on our website, as well as it's on other websites as well. Bill, I really am, you know I love you, but I'm kind of getting tired of your bad news.
Yeah, tell me about it. You know, I really thought that in March we would see a turn in optimism, but maybe it was a little soon, because it really took us to get kind of pretty much through the month of March to find out that unit sales of cars are up, that 100,000 new houses were built, you know, in February over January, and so probably happened in March. You know, so some of the and of course the stock market month was better than any we've seen since the Depression. So it was a really nice gainer month. And so that kind of good news, I think, will slip into the April survey. And so I now fearlessly predict a turn in small business owner optimism.
Ooh.
This month.
Ooh. So the next report.
Yeah.
So you're trying to buy yourself some time here, right? Time,
yeah, I am.
Trying to redeem yourself?
You know, gotta go for it, make it look good. But I think I think that'll really happen. I think we've really kind of bottomed out down there, and we'll pick up. I don't see us really beating the 1980-82 bad numbers. You know, we're close, but I think we'll pull out just before we set a new record low for the optimism index.
We're going to talk about some of the specifics, folks. We're going to get into the labor, capital spending, sales, credit, et cetera. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, Bill, what do you attribute? I said this about a week ago. I told the audience that I thought I was seeing a little teeny tiny glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel that didn't look like a headlight. And it actually looked like maybe some sunlight, and that's what I'm seeing. But what do you attribute, if you agree with me, and I think you do, what do you attribute that to? Is it because you just can't keep America down forever? We're bound to come back. Is it pent up demand? Are some of the stimulus stuff working? What do you think?
Well, not much stimulus is in, so I don't think we can give the stimulus very much credit. I mean, the tax cut didn't even start until April 1, and that would be just a few days ago.
Right.
You know, and certainly not a lot of roads and bridges have been started, and you know, so really not you know, if the stimulus has had an impact, it's because it would be on expectations rather
right.
than actual money flowing into the economy. So we're, you know, we'll cure ourselves the way we always do, and that is momentum. You said the right words, pent-up demand. You know, we're buying cars at a 9 million annual rate when we normally buy 15 or 16 million, and we scrap 14 million. Now, how long can you do that for? And the answer is not very long.
Right.
We need 1.5 million new houses, apartments, and condos every year to handle population growth. We're only building at 500,000, so a third of what we would need. Now, that will quickly wipe out the surpluses in most parts of the country except Florida and California. And so we'll start building more houses. So we'll buy more cars. We'll build more houses. Small business owners have been postponing capital spending
yep.
and inventory investment. Well, you can't do that. You know, the shelves will do empty out. I mean, you're going to have to mm-hmm. order some more stuff. So manufacturing will pick up, and we'll start repairing the roof, and we'll buy that new piece of equipment. And so it's that kind of pent-up demand that starts to be unleashed because we just need to. Remember, even if the unemployment rate goes to 10%, that would mean that 9 out of 10 people who want a job still have a job and have their incomes, and they can spend, and they will.
Right, absolutely. Bill, let's take a quick break. Folks, Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. When we come back, I want to talk about, I want Bill to answer this question about stimulus. If the economy comes back before the stimulus actually hits, why don't we just not do the stimulus, right? I'll ask Bill about that right after these messages. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Mama, it's great food.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance to use it to your advantage. Don't forget, you got if you got 5 seconds or 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, we got something that will help you with your small business, the one you're planning or the one you have and you're trying to grow. Maybe you're just trying to survive. We got something that will help you. Either you can read or you can listen to something that will benefit you. Check out my newsletter, which you can subscribe to. We'll send you by email every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. The blog post, the new one is, could social media actually be dangerous for your small business? That's a blasphemous proposal to some people's minds, but I made it anyway. And you can read what I had to say about that right there at the blog, which you can access off the homepage. Also, my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is there, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter also. That's twitter.com/JimBlasingame. Bill Dunkelberg is with us. And, Bill, the question that I have, I want to get into the details of the study, but before we do, I predicted that when I learned how long it was going to take for the stimulus money, the almost $1 trillion worth of stimulus money they proposed and passed, I predicted that before that money would actually do any good, the economy would already have healed itself. And is that right? That's what's happening, isn't it?
Yes, you're exactly right.
Why don't we just say, hey, that was a nice idea, but we don't need it. Let's forget about it.
Well, you know, that was a good idea. And I mean, NFIB, of course, said that what they should do is, if you want to spend $800 billion, just eliminate all Social Security and withholding taxes for 6 months, and that'll put a ton of money
right
into the hands of consumers who will spend some and save some. And, of course, if they save it, then we'll have that money we need to lend out that they complain that we don't have. So that would have been good, quick, immediately into the economy, boom. But obviously the stimulus package was just a disguise for a very complicated agenda for, you know, healthcare and green technologies.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't, they were just kidding us. They were using the stimulus to push this through and make you just buy it. So remember, Congress voted on this bill and never read it. $800
mm-hmm.
billion, dollars, never read it.
Unprecedented level of spending and never read it.
Unbelievable.
And we wonder, Bill, why there are members of Congress wonder why there are hundreds of tea parties going on around the country.
Exactly.
Tell the audience what those tea parties are doing right now.
Well, you know, they're sending a very strong message to Washington and the state governments that we're really tired of all these things that the government's doing. The spending is out of hand. They are recognizing that the real measure of the burden of government is not taxes, but spending.
Mm-hmm.
And we finance spending with taxes and borrowing. So, you know, if you look at the forecast for tax revenue for this fiscal year, which started October 1, for the government. You know, we by the end of this month, we will have used up all of the expected tax revenue, and from April 1 on, we'll be borrowing every dime that the government spends. So that's not good.
That is not good. And you know, another thing I predicted early last year, Bill, when it looked like, or I should say late last year, when it looked like the government was going to be more intrusive into our lives, plus the fact that they'd be raising taxes, I predicted a revolution. Everything would be peaceful, but that the only way to get the government to roll back its oppressiveness would be through a revolution of a peaceful one, as I say. And I think that's something that the politicians should be paying attention to, don't you?
Well, I think they will. There's no doubt about it. They'll be playing to it.
And I'm talking Republicans and Democrats.
Both, yeah. Well, the Republicans don't have exactly a great record of keeping spending under control here.
It's the political class that I'm talking about.
Yeah. So that's what's going to have to happen. And a lot of people are going to find that in the elections next year, you know, the people are so unhappy that they're going to turn them out.
Right.
That's the way we have revolutions here. It's great.
That's exactly right, and I actually hope that happens. And whatever happens. I think we need to put the fear into some of those guys that small business owners have had in their hearts for the last year or so. Bill, let's talk about the labor report that you got. That's not looking good either. People aren't hiring, are they?
They are not. You know, if you look at the first 3 months of the year, we probably reduced employment the highest rate per firm, the highest number of workers per firm in the 35-year history of our survey. So when firms got into the cost-cutting mode, of course, 80% of our costs are labor costs, they really cut them dramatically. I think we've overdone it, which means that just as we had very sharp declines in the employment numbers, we'll have sharp increases once we figure out that we fired a few too many.
So you think, I completely agree with you. I think you are exactly right. I think especially big businesses,
companies
have overreacted in their laying off. Do you think small businesses have too?
Yeah, they have. And the reason is very simple. We were, you know, with the help of Washington and the media, we got scared to death. So if you're very uncertain about how long this is going to last, and you hear it's a depression, not a recession, which is nonsense, it's not even as bad as 80-82 yet,
right.
I hope it doesn't get there. But so when you're that scared and that uncertain, you've got to do everything you can now to save money.
Yep.
And so what we did was we've really cut inventories to record levels. We've cut employment. We have done everything we can because we don't know how long this is going to go, and we have to be cautious.
Yep, absolutely. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you're doing out there with regard to capital spending. Can you get money if money's available from banks to loan to you? Are you even asking for it? That's something I've been finding out from the bankers that I know. Tin Till, stay with us. Here's ZZ Top. Take us out.
I've been in love 10,000 times. All you gotta do is remember my line.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest and our good friend. Longtime member of our Brain Trust, he is the chief economist for the NFIB. That's NFIB.com, right, Bill?
Yes, sirree.
And also your own website.
smallbus.org.
They can find your survey there. They can find it at NFIB.com. They can find it at my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, Bill, on the capital spending area of your report, that's off too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, and that's one of the green shoots of, you know, where the spending is holding steady but at a low level. But, you know, so it bounces up and down. So sometimes we see it pop up a few points, and that's good. But we know that there's a huge pent-up demand. That is, we've kept our spending, suppressed now for quite a while. So things will have to be done. Trucks will have to be bought.
Yep.
Machines will have to be replaced. The loading dock will have to be fixed. And that, of course, will start capital spending out on a run.
So, and we're looking forward to that. Sales are still negative, though, right? I just got a report on retail. It's off 8%.
Yeah, of course, the retail sales numbers are a little exaggerated, I think, and I'll just give you two quick examples. We know through the first quarter that the number of cars sold was up, but the March report said that retail sales for cars were down. Now, that could mean that discounts are really huge, you know what I mean? The prices are really down. They're cutting prices out. And the other thing that's very puzzling is we know gas prices are up 10 cents just in the last month.
Right.
And yet it says that gasoline sales were down. I don't think people parked their cars relative to January and February. We didn't suddenly park in March.
Right.
I think there's just some seasonal adjustment problems. Mm-hmm. You know, Easter was in March last year. It's in April this year.
Right.
So I think that I'd say those are going to be revised. You look at the whole first quarter, things are really, you know, inching up, and that's what we like to see.
On the credit side, I want to come back to inflation in a minute, but on the credit side, when I talk to independent bankers across the country, and I talk to a lot of them, and you're one as well. You're involved with an independent bank. They're telling me the problem is that not the money. We got the money. We want to lend to small business owners. They're not asking us for the money. What do you think?
That's exactly right. It's demand. What we forget is that when you don't buy new inventories, you don't need to do your floor planning and borrow money to support that. When you're not making capital expenditures and expanding your plant, you don't borrow for that, et cetera, et cetera. So the big problem really is demand is low, not a supply problem.
Right.
Now, if you try to borrow from the Bank of America, yeah, that could be a problem because they lost a lot of money.
They're not going to loan to you, right.
Yeah, that's not true for the 8,000 small banks out there. We're there. Demand is down, and of course the people in Washington are going to say, "Hey, look, loans are down. Must be a credit problem."
Right.
No,
that's what they've been saying. That's what they've been saying, and they've made people
exactly.
believe that. I talked to a friend of mine last night. He said, "Tell me about all this problem with small businesses getting credit." I said, "It's a myth."
It is a myth.
Yeah,
it is a myth.
And really, always has been.
35 years of data to show that there was no problem with credit. Only 4% of the owners said credit was their top problem, compared to 37% back before 1983. That was a credit problem.
Right, exactly. Bill, let's talk about inflation, and this is something you've tracked probably closer than anybody I know for small businesses over the last several decades. And we don't have inflation now. We've got disinflation probably, but boy howdy, we're going to have it soon, aren't we?
Well, we certainly could have it soon. I mean, what the Federal Reserve has been doing to try, because they think that, you know, the credit's clogged up, they think it's a supply problem, is they've been liquefying the banks. So basically, liquefying the bank means I'll buy some of your loans and I'll give you cash. So you have a lot of cash. You can't make money on cash, so you'll lend it out, right? Well, the banks would if customers were coming in, but they're not coming in. So they're really, since they don't understand the problem, the policies are incorrect. You know, they're not. It's not really the issue that we're looking at. So, you know, for us, inflation is not a problem. If you go back to July last year, net of those who were cutting prices, 32% of our owners were raising prices. The number now is minus 23.
Yeah.
That's a 50-point swing.
But that's going to swing back.
Pardon?
But Bill, when all this cash hits the economy, I mean, even Mr. Bernanke commented this week, didn't he, that he was concerned about it in the future?
Oh, yeah. Well, what has to happen is, of course, the government has to, in a sense, sell those assets that it bought back to the private sector and stoke up the liquidity. But that, of course, means you're going to put upward pressure on interest rates.
So if you try to sell that'll bonds, slow the economy.
Right, and people will complain, and we'll see if we have the political will to get this job done.
Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, thanks a lot. It's great to be with you.
Dr. Bill Duckenberg, ladies and gentlemen, chief economist for the NFIB. He's the best, and he'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.